They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
Good day, everyone, and welcome.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah, I said that. I said good day, everyone.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's your...
Do you have Qantas bears? Do you have Qantas bears? Have you ever seen a kangaroo in your street?
It's your Americans. Your Americans from down under. That's right. Oh, it's time for the Bill Show with Randall Berger. Randy, how you doing today?
I'm good. Doing good, Bill. And I've missed you. And I've missed our listeners. Hopefully they enjoyed show number 93.
I think they probably did.
Yeah, well, lots happened.
We have a few things in our mailbag, and we're going to get to
today.
Good.
Yeah,
a few guys in our mailbag.
I like hearing from our listeners, so please do try to catch up with us if you can. Make requests.
Yeah, that's at the Bill Show on XPR at gmail.com.
We'll play Ted Nugent songs.
Yeah, and everything that you put on Gmail will be read by the NSA, as we know, because Mr. Snowden told us.
Yeah,
hey, listen, before we get on to that, another bad thing happened in America. By the way, it's been about 3 weeks since we've done a show, and we were thinking maybe nothing would happen that would be worth, you know, getting together and doing the show again.
Crack of sparrows fart Sunday morning, our time.
Yeah.
I happen to be on the road driving my teenage daughter somewhere, and I heard this report about a mass shooting.
Yeah.
In Isla Vista, California.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara, I said College Town.
Mm.
And the story led, and I'm from Goleta, I'm from Isla Vista, I'm from Santa Barbara. My father taught at UCSB. So I know a lot about the area where they're talking about. Isla Vista, which is this literally 2 or 3 square mile college community, is the most densely populated area of the United States, with 20,000 people resident. It might even be in the world outside of Monaco. But I heard this story, and I thought, oh no, not again. And then I realized...
It's like every other... Listen, we've been doing this show now for... Well, I've been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah, and you were up to show number 94.
94, and we... continually have done special after special after special,
on mass shootings.
We're just going, all right. okay.
But what bothered me was, A, the first promotion.
Mm.
Assistant director, son of assistant director of the Hunger Games,
does
drive-by shooting, which is 3 degrees of separation. I went, what the heck does the father have to do? What the heck is the... his job or the movie The Hunger Games have to do with any of this?
Mm.
Apparently nothing. But that's how the story led. And
they tied the father into it because he's...
English.
No, but he's associated with Hollywood and The Hunger Games. That's an in on the story that's going to get people looking. And the press, of course, are having a fantastic time with this. But, of course, the two major things that I think that I find... rather disturbing about this. First of all, the fact that this Elliot kid who did the job, who went in Isla Vista, California, got really pissed off, posted on YouTube that he was going to do it, said he was going to do it. Police came by to say hello to him.
Yeah, checked his guns. They're all licensed. Yes, everything's fine.
He has a psychological problem. He has been known to be seeing therapists, but in the good old US of A, that doesn't deter you from getting a sweet deal and a gun.
Oh, absolutely. And what is the first thing the local sheriff said? Well, all of his guns were registered.
Yeah.
All of his guns were legally purchased and registered in L.A. Roger. So, to the NRA, he was a good guy with a gun until 9:27 last night.
And not only that, Elliot posted this on YouTube, and I'm not going to give too much time to this prick. This is what the little son of a bitch put on YouTube.
Hi, Elliot Roger here.
Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity. Against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attracted to me.
Oh, fuck off, just this guy. Fuck off. Jesus Christ. You had to kill 6 people because you got the sads because Mary Lou wouldn't take you to the fucking prom? Really?
That's really shocking.
Hit that level now, ladies and gentlemen, where basically people can get snuffed in the street with guns given to retards like this simply because they didn't get a fucking date for the fucking prom?
Jeez. I mean, Christ. It's just terrible.
Narcissistic little
nobody
fucker.
Nobody fucks an 8-year-old anyway.
Jeez. Christ.
It's saying that from 8-year-old, he'd been writing this manifesto all those years because he grew up in England.
You know, and then he drove slowly through this town in California in his BMW
5 series, yeah.
That he has at, what, 18? While half the fucking world is starving, saying how bad his life is.
He's 22.
His life is so bad.
He's 22.
He's just neglected.
He says, I'm 22 and I'm still a virgin.
You know,
and I'm going, Jesus, who the fuck cares? If I will, he can fuck me to save those 6 people's lives.
I don't think so.
Look, I already don't care.
But my thing is, basically, only in America, but that's the thing, is that only in America, only in America you have a situation where basically this entitled little shit, and I know I'm a left-wing podcast, and I'd be going, well, he was a victim too of society.
Yeah,
no, he wasn't.
He was misdiagnosed by his psychoanalyst.
No, he's a fucking narcissistic little dick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry he is.
Well, they're blaming everybody except him.
Well, it's just that they're
blaming everybody except him.
That's the point is the fact that we are, you know, in America now, how many of these white kind of bullied young people, usually, you know, sometimes even of privilege, you know, live in these fucking beautiful towns, and then they, you know, they have mental problems, doesn't make any fucking difference, they give them a nice little gun, and off they go to the races.
Yeah, and you know what, I'll quote you something?
Yeah.
Of the 70 mass shootings, meaning more than a few shootings in America in the last 30 years, what have they all had in common?
White.
No, they're all men.
It's true.
They're all men. It's true. There's only ever been
but
one.
But how many mass shootings were done by blacks recently?
But it doesn't matter.
I just find that unique.
And,
that
it's like most men,
big ones happen to be suburban white kids nowadays.
Yeah,
most
suicides are suburban white kids too. I mean, I wish Elliot Rodger had killed himself at the beginning of the spree.
Well, no, I wish that basically when it was known that he had gone to a psychologist, that he suffered from Asperger's, that the police were literally checking on him, and that the night before he went around and killed 6 people shooting slowly from a BMW, that somebody could have not sold him a fucking gun.
Oh, 3 guns.
You know,
when
are you going to get it? There are people sitting there going, you know something? We should do something about psychos getting guns. Here's an idea. Don't have the guns. You know, we've done that in Australia.
Don't go there. We'll have complaints from the NRA. Those 2% of Americans
believe in the
Second Amendment. William, do you realize that gun sales in Santa Barbara County immediately went up? Shops ran
Jesus
out of guns
Christ.
On the Sunday.
Now, I've got...
That's it. Gun sales went up.
And I've got 2 clips right now. By the way, one of the most articulate things I've heard in the last 3 weeks is the father of one of the victims got up.
Within hours.
And he nailed this. None of this fucking waiting time. Well, you know, we shouldn't talk about the NRA being responsible for thousands of people being murdered in America every year.
We shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't be, don't inflict politics into this bad situation. No. The fucking victim's father got up and said this.
That was our Sarah Seidner. There's a press conference going on right now. Let's take a listen.
He died last night. I've written out a statement that was prepared by the family Our son Christopher Martinez and six others are dead. Our family has a message for every parent out there. You don't think it'll happen to your child until it does. Chris was a really great kid. Ask anyone who knew him. His death has left our family lost and broken. Why did Chris die? Chris died because of craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA. They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this. Too many have died. We should say to ourselves, not one more.
That's incredible. I don't, nothing's going to happen to them until it does, but everybody in America seems to have been touched by guns.
Mm.
And do you know that 89 out of 100 people on average in America own a gun? And that's more than anywhere else in the whole world? 89.
I think that American society is really fucked in the head. I'm sorry, I just do. And I know that's fine. Unpatriotic. Bill, you're being unpatriotic as an American. No, I think it's fucking sick.
Can't change the Constitution. They've changed it 23 times already.
Oh, well, but
change it again.
But it's something we really can't even talk about. And, I mean, how many kids? Well, we can't talk about banning guns.
I'm not talking about banning guns. You regulate and register everything.
We can't even
else
talk about America. Registering guns. We can't even talk about this. Because the whole business is fixed. But I'll tell you something. What makes me furious is the same week that this happened, Joni Ernst, she's some whack-a-job right-wing gun nut, had to take this ad off of Idaho Public Television. This is her campaign ad that she did
to run for the Senate.
Here, listen to this.
She's not your typical candidate. Conservative Joni Ernst. Mom, farm girl, and a lieutenant colonel who carries more than just lipstick in her purse. Joni Ernst will take aim at wasteful spending. And once she sets her sights on Obamacare, Joni's gonna unload. Oh, and one more thing. Joni doesn't miss much.
Give me a shot. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message.
Yeah, because I'm an American, and when I don't like something, Randall, I shoot the fuck out of it.
Oh dear, and she carries more than lipstick. She doesn't miss much.
She's, you know, I mean, yeah. I swear to God, you know, and this is her
campaign.
The same week, and her campaign manager, she's probably another NRA shrill, and her campaign manager goes, "Yeah, you better take that off there, Joni. Not going to look too good. A bunch of little kids, little blonde kids in Santa Monica getting their asses shot off while you're sitting there going, oh, well, you know, I could really shoot up the town if I'm your representative. Yeah. Jesus,
but
man.
Do you know that some of the other responses, not only did gun sales go up in Santa Barbara County, the NRA came out and said, look, he only shot three of the kids, the other three he stabbed. And they were from overseas.
Oh, God. They made that.
Yeah. He stabbed three of them. He didn't shoot them all.
That means guns are okay.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Mr. Martinez, Richard Martinez, the father, was gracious enough to include Elliot Roger in his seven people died last night because he committed suicide at the end after the police chase.
Well, you knew that was going to happen, right?
Yeah, but they don't. But why do they include the victim? I wouldn't.
Oh, well, you know, it's a person who has died at the scene.
It was a suicide.
Well, listen, that's the rant that we do every goddamn time this crap happens. You know, and still, listen, I'm telling you something. This is John Oliver did that special on The Daily Show about Australia. I've been living here for 10 years. I was there when Port Arthur, I wasn't there, but I mean, I was in Australia when Port Arthur happened. Port Arthur massacre was the worst massacre in the history of the world until, I understand,
Norway
beat us out for the title, you know.
For a single person.
And what happened after that was a testament to actual sanity, in which our conservative prime minister said, no more pointy sticks, and we're going to regulate them. And he was a conservative. And you know how many mass shootings we've had since then? None.
Big zero.
Zero. Okay? Zero. These people are dying on a daily basis because of corruption in Washington. And yes, I know you know that. And yes, I know I'm speaking to the chorus, but what are you going to do? Anyway, we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about Edward Snowden and his interview with Brian Williams on NBC this week when we get back right here on The Bill Show.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains!
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority, 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Yes, Best of the Left, the podcast that we like.
We've listened to other people, and it's us. We were mentioned on Best of the Left.
Yes, I know. We've been running on that for a while.
I know. Maybe we should send them another check, see if they'll mention us again.
Yeah, mention us again. Absolutely. Now, Edward Snowden, you know who I'm talking about. That
Edward
wild,
Snowden,
crazy kid.
Who left Hong Kong, went to a lot of places, ended up in Moscow.
Yeah, the computer that wore tennis shoes and basically proved that the NSA was listening to, let's see, just about
everybody.
Everybody. And,
including the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, absolutely. Angela Merkel, who wasn't too happy. And which, actually, whether Snowden is a traitor. Now, I watched the NBC thing with Brian Williams and was suitably nauseated by, tell us, why are you a traitor?
That's not a leading question, is it?
No, I think but despite the fact that Snowden has basically, through his actions, people are now talking about the surveillance state. And if he hadn't known anything about it, if he hadn't done anything about it, we would have this guy to trust on whether or not the NSA was actually... This is Clapper, who's head of the NSA. And the week before Edward Snowden let loose his documents, this is what he said in an open congressional hearing when asked the question.
I thank you, and just for you, Director Clapper, again on the surveillance front. And I hope we can do this in just a yes or no answer, because I know Senator Feinstein wants to move on. Last summer, the NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans. He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
You lying fuck.
I think so.
You lying motherfucker. Now, let's think about this. That Snowden...
No, he's not a lying motherfucker wittingly. Wittingly.
You know, what the thing is that Snowden is still, basically... being used as the pointy stick toward Obama by Putin, who's just being a manic little prick, you know. But the fact is, he's doomed to stay in Russia, and this turd, who basically lied straight to Congress, which, by the way, is a felony.
Oh, yeah, but he's not really prosecuted.
Right, he's not going anywhere. He's fine. He's one of those white guys, you know, with suits.
Yeah. He's
but, you know, the computer that wore tennis shoes, he has to put up with Brian Williams going, tell me, why aren't you just manning up and going home?
And why is it a traitor to actually reveal the truth about something?
Oh, well, that's the idea. And by the way,
Snowden
was so slick in that interview. I mean, he really was. He was the smartest guy in the room. And Brian Williams started this traitor talk right at the beginning of the interview. And you know what? Williams kind of backed away because the more you listened to him, the more you said, hey, you know, this guy isn't a nut. He's not crazy. There's no upside for him to do this. Yeah. I mean, could you please name the upside here for this
poor
fuck?
Yeah, what does he get? He doesn't get to see his family. He doesn't get any money. He has to eat borscht.
Yeah, I mean, if he is some evil guy trying to...
It gets cold in Russia.
It gets cold. Forget cold.
And you have to eat pickled fish and shit.
And you know what? He said something that I actually really respected. And he sat there and said, hey, I released stuff that I knew was not going to be highly destructive to United States intelligence.
Yeah, but it was
now they kept saying the minute that he said it, he said people are gonna die, people are gonna die. You know what?
Nobody died.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a while now, and I don't. You know, where's the big thing?
Hey, we got embarrassed by it.
What's that?
By some of Snowden's revelations that Australia taps the phone of the president of Indonesia and his wife.
Well, they, yes.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
So we had a little bit of embarrassment going on. And Angela Merkel and all those other people that weren't necessarily United States citizens. But we got a little blush.
Yeah, no, there was the government here. But it's true that all governments bug everybody else. That's not a problem. The problem is that you guys have the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution on reasonable search and seizure.
Yeah.
You have freedom of the press. Snowden is sitting there. The only patriot in this fucking room is Snowden, who's standing up and saying, you know what? You're being fucked over. And you're being fucked over by people who lie to you incessantly. Yeah. And I'm talking about Obama. I'm talking about Clapper. I'm talking about these guys are lying.
John Kerry.
Kerry.
Don't start.
You loathsome fucking asshole.
What a hypocrite.
I listened to Kerry right after one. What a dick. This is John Kerry. John fucking Kerry.
John fucking Kerry. Who won 3 Purple Hearts in Vietnam.
Yeah, and used to actually stand for something with Vietnam veterans against the war. He spoke in the 60s and people called him a traitor. And this is what this fuck, this sellout, this asshole said about Snowden.
You're sounding very back.
Yeah, I'm really pissed off with this. Because this is what this malevolent, I'm going De Niro. You lying motherfucking piece of shit. This is my De Niro. Kerry, you fucking piece of shit. This is what he said. This is what he said about Snowden.
Mr. Secretary, let me ask you about Edward Snowden. He has now given an interview in which he says he was trained by the United States as a spy. How damaging is this disclosure?
Well, it's the same disclosure that everybody's known. You know, he very cleverly wraps it into his language about I was a technical person. I didn't go out there and work with humans, with other people. I wasn't working and interacting with human beings. Basically, he was doing his computer stuff, and that's exactly what he says. So he wraps it into this, you know, larger language. The bottom line is, this is a man who has betrayed his country, who is sitting in Russia, an authoritarian country, where he has taken refuge. He should man up and come back to the United States. If he has a complaint about what's the matter with American surveillance, come back here and stand in our system of justice.
Yeah, like Bradley Manning, you fuckhead. Why don't you just man up and come just face American justice where Obama can do the thing he did with Manning and try to put a needle in his fucking arm? Kerry, you're a cock-sucking little sellout. You really are, because this is what you said in the 60s. In the 60s, you were with Vietnam veterans against the war.
Yeah.
And people started calling you a traitor because you stood up for something. This is one of the ads that they ran against Kerry, calling him a traitor.
Secretary of State John Kerry betrayed his fellow Vietnam veterans by accusing them of committing the worst possible war crimes. Kerry received 3 phony Purple Heart medals after lying and exaggerating about his brief combat duty in Vietnam.
So if anyone should know about people calling you a traitor for telling the truth, it's you. And now you turn around and stab this kid in the back. Of course you have to do that. You're Secretary of State. But you know something? I just find it nauseating, Randall, that he's sitting there going, man up. There's only one man here. Okay?
So what's the fine line between traitor and patriot? It's not a gulf. It's the
Constitution of the United States. It's the defending the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
And that's what only one person is doing. And Kerry should know better. Yeah. I'm really fucking ripped with you, dude. I really am. And I'm
obviously, yes. I think you're mad as hell and you're not going
to
take it.
I am mad as hell, which leads us to our break.
Was that a segue?
That's a good segue. That's my little thing on Kerry. Don't worry. I'm going to friggin' De Niro on you.
Okay.
That's it.
What Bill's going to play is, I mean, I've always loved that little piece of Peter Finch in our opening from the 1974 movie Network, where he plays Howard Beale, the newscaster. And I watched him to play the entire speech so you can hear where that comes from. So you can remember that, throw open the windows and stick your head out and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go
out? You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Herb?
CGG Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge. God damn
it. Get up, get up, get up out of your chair.
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lode.
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to the
window. Where are you going? I want to see if anybody's yelling.
Just go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling. I'm
mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, I think that is probably one of the great film scenes ever. Of course, winning Peter Finch a posthumous Oscar.
But you know something? It really, you just sit there and go, this was made in 1974? What's changed?
What's changed?
Just curious, what exactly has changed in our national conversation?
Well, we just heard Richard Martinez getting mad as hell at the NRA and these stupid politicians.
Yeah.
Why aren't people throwing up open the windows and saying, I'm mad as hell and I want you to ban the fucking guns?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's going to take. I think that's what it's going to take here. I think that's what it's going to take over there. Mm-hmm. Is that you're literally going to have to get on the street and start shaking some trees. You're going to have to get up off your fucking couch. Now, we have a prime minister here who's evidently taken all his work from the Heritage Foundation and has decided to privatize everything. Now, I'm finding myself at 54 going out with my union and getting on the street.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to say that we're going to post with this thing that Elliot's father wants you guys out there to put a postcard in the mail to all your legislators saying, no, we don't want any guns anymore. Not one more. That's it. So I'll provide the link that we have on this. But for our next segment, Randall.
Yes.
Next segment.
Mm-hmm.
I have, and it will be introduced now for you,
ooh,
by the wonderful tunes, Here Come the Judge from the 1950s. Let me just put this on here.
Here come the judge, here come the judge.
Yes, Randall, Here Come the Judge. That's the Buena Vistas from the 1950s.
Is that where Sammy Davis got that for laughing?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And this is our intro music for the five, thank you to Alternet, the five craziest laws passed by GOP legislators in America this month. Okay, and let's just have a look. Number one. Yeah. And so, you don't know what's coming to you.
I don't know.
I have no idea. All right.
Okay.
So here it is.
No facts.
Number one, Missouri legalizes shooting people for being in your section.
Your section of what?
Feeling the Castle Doctrine defined Castle too narrowly, Missouri State Representative Joe Don McGraw proposed a bill allowing any citizen to use deadly force to protect against unlawful entry of private property. This is a common sense extension of the law that would empower a nanny or a babysitter, or anyone with the owner's permission to occupy a property, to defend himself or herself against an intruder. Unfortunately, McGraw didn't write his bill very carefully, and the Missouri House ended up passing a law that endorses use of deadly force by pretty much anyone, anywhere. The bill allows for force by occupants.
It could be your car. Somebody's trying to get into your car.
Dear,
get out! Bang, bang, bang!
Dear occupant, use deadly force. Occupants and private property conditions written so loosely that occupants could refer to a diner or a baseball game attendee or someone watching a movie, while invasion could mean anybody they feel intruding on whatever property they happen to be on. As Think Progress explains, the bill is basically stand your ground, except it replaces the threat of immediate physical harm with the feeling of invasion.
Private property.
I feel I'm being invaded.
You're on my private property.
That's why I took my, you know, my Uzi, and I just shot him dead.
Feel threatened in a business or by someone who doesn't belong there? Well, take out your gun and start
not
shooting.
Not going there.
Or to quote Charles Pierce, if you're at a Royals game and don't even think about moving down to the really good seats unless you feel lucky, punk.
Yeah.
You're in my seat, man.
Okay. Number two, Florida tries to make it illegal for homeless people to own stuff.
How could they do that?
The city of Fort Lauderdale recently took up a resolution that would make it illegal for homeless people to keep their possessions anywhere on public property. The resolution would allow police to confiscate any property stored on a public ground, provided 24 hours notice is given. Confiscated property may be retrieved.
Please,
I'm not fucking joking. You.
Oh,
if the person
that's
pays
my cardboard box.
Okay, listen to this. Confiscated property can be retrieved by the homeless and destitute if the person pays a reasonable fee for storage and transportation costs.
Well, just don't take it from them in the first place. Oh, what Jesus, is it? It's man. A bag and a shopping trolley.
What is America kind of living this Victorian novel kind of Dickens-like environment?
It's these fucking weird red states.
Oh, just, God. Okay, listen, this is it. Maintaining city streets is a legitimate concern, but simply punishing homeless people for leaving their possessions in public places is not an effective, or may I say, humane way to address it, says Maria Foricanis, executive director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty, said to Think Progress. Instead, city and business leaders should work with advocates and homeless people to develop an alternative, you know, just stealing their shit.
Yeah.
The resolution is, of course, backed by the city's business community, who were also quoted as saying, "Are there no workhouses?" Which merely finds homeless people an eyesore. You know.
That's terrible. What's number three? Icky. Come on, you're killing me.
Number three, Oklahoma bans the minimum wage, increases into the minimum wage.
What? I have to pay to work at McDonald's now?
Yes, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping across the plain and where the farmer and the cowman should be friends.
Yeah.
While the Obama administration raises the minimum wage threshold to private contractors working with the government, Democrats in Congress push for a $10.10 minimum wage, which is laughably low. In Seattle,
it's not bad.
Yeah, well, it's better than $4 an hour, I guess. But,
yeah, well,
you know,
we've got $15 an hour.
$15 here, an hour here.
Plus a lot of rights.
And
yeah.
Rights. But don't worry, we're right behind you because we got a conservative government in there who, you know, going
to
take those away.
Get rid of the minimum
wage. Let me just continue this. And Seattle votes in the country's highest minimum wage at $15 an hour. Oklahoma is going in the exact opposite direction. Not only is Oklahoma not considering a statewide increase, but it banned individual cities from even considering such a raise.
How can you do that? How can you ban?
If you're a dick, you know. The move was widely viewed as a preemptive attack on a movement by the Central Oklahoma Labor Federation. Oh, busting unions. How 1930s. To raise the Oklahoma City's minimum wage to $10.10 in line with that being called for by the president. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon and her fellow GOP... I love Mary.
Mary's terrible.
In the legislature, argued the bill created a level playing field for all municipalities in Oklahoma and protected against artificial raises in the minimum wage to, you know, the poor. Mary,
this
fuck
for
you.
Yeah.
You know, really, seriously. Oklahoma. Now, we have another one.
From Oklahoma.
From Oklahoma.
Oh, they're on a run.
Oklahoma. You got to think that Mary
the
runs
panhandle,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she runs a really tight ship over there. Oklahoma wasn't done. Unhappy with people who install their own solar panels and wind turbines, you know, to help fuck it, save the planet, I'm thinking.
And not have to pay money.
Yeah, yeah. An action that helps the utilities by easing the pressure on the companies during peak hours. The state is now penalizing private energy producers through a surcharge.
What?
The extra charge applies to those who sell excess energy created by the panels or turbines back into the grid, known as net metering. It was snuck into a rider on another bill at the last minute, catching lawmakers and alternative energy groups off guard. It passed without a single dissenting vote.
Because nobody saw it.
Oh my God. Listen, that's...
You can't tax the sun.
Evidently you can. Evidently the people, the fucking whores in the Oklahoma legislature who are owned by people like ALEC and the fossil fuel industries want to basically discourage people from using stuff that'll save the planet like solar energy.
Well, or save their own money.
Yeah, I know. I'd save their own money.
Yeah. I mean, it's
not cheap.
Do
you understand this?
It's not cheap to put in solar panels. You won't be a net producer of energy immediately. So why are they surcharging it? Maybe they could surcharge it after you've amortized the cost of
it. Don't charge it at all. Why am I surcharging this? I'm creating energy where there wasn't any. I got solar panels on my roof right now.
It's a tax on a tax. It's a double tax.
Yeah. Now, number five.
Oh, here it comes.
Number five. I'm here. There. Tennessee outlaws high-speed mass transit. Get in your cars and start burning those fossil fuels because in Tennessee, a proposed high-speed bus system in Nashville got on the bad side of the Tennessee legislature last month. But rather than fix or alter the suggested plans, Tennessee senators solved the matter by passing a bill against high-speed mass transit.
Why?
The AMP was designed as a 7-mile high-speed bus line connecting various parts of Nashville, which would make it Tennessee's first mass transit system and had the support of the business community. With Nashville's congestion getting worse and 1 million residents expected to move to the city over the next 20 years, the plan seemed like a no-brainer. But the people with no brains had something to say about that. But to work, the high-speed bus system needed a dedicated line and traffic signal priority. This angered people in their cars. Wealthier residents began complaining of the undesirable elements the transit system would bring into their fucking neighborhoods.
What?
You know, the riffraff that use public transport, with one expressing the fear that it could bring burger flippers. No, that's what she used, burger flippers, through her neighborhood.
But I don't understand. The high-speed public transport would get them through your neighborhood and out the other side quicker. What is she talking about?
You know why people hate the 1% right away?
No, actually I don't. We have high-speed buses.
You know why they? You know why they hate them right away?
Why?
It saves time.
Yeah.
Okay. Then a major auto dealer began sponsoring lawn signs opposing the plan, fearing a functional mass transit system, you know, that helps
would stop him
save the planet, would stop him making money. That's when the Koch brothers got involved. Hey!
Oh, the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Yeah. Got involved. Americans for Prosperity, Tennessee, sprung into existence, staffed entirely by lobbyists and blessed with an undisclosed budget. Shortly thereafter, a bill appeared in the Tennessee legislature, making it illegal for buses to pick up or drop off passengers in the center line of the state road, effectively outlawing the AMP and any transit system like it. The bill's sponsor said he worried parking spaces might be sacrificed to make room for the line, the ultimate expression of a car-centered culture bewildered by the need, to say nothing of the desire for public transportation.
Oh, Jesus.
The bill passed the state Senate without much opposition, but in the end, this too was too much, even for Tennessee. The single-lane legislation was ultimately rendered irrelevant when the Tennessee legislature negotiated a bill to allow the project to go forward with greater oversight from the legislature. But the Koch brothers had shown how easy it is to derail cities' much-needed mass transit. Wow!
Yeah. Yeah. Henry Ford must be dancing on his grave. This happened in Australia. I mean, we hark back. We have, in our big cities, we had electric trams. We had cable cars, too, Australia and San Francisco. Efficient, clean.
They work.
But in the 50s and 60s, the bus companies or the car companies started offering money to local councils to tear up the tram tracks.
Yeah.
And Melbourne, which is the city in which young William and I live, is the only city with a real electric tram and train system anymore.
That's right.
And it really is.
It really does work. And New York, by the way, you don't need a car in New York. But you know what I love about that last story is the comment about the burger flippers coming into her neighborhood.
It's a burger flipper sounds like a sea creature.
This is endemic of this particular time.
I don't want that those kind of people in my neighborhood.
Really, seriously, that there is a percentage of America that's just turned into, you know, Mrs. Drysdale from the Clampets, you know, from Beverly Hillbillies, you know. Oh, dear. Not, you know, oh, the wish, the riffraff.
Oh, let's go swim in the cement pond.
Yeah, I know. I know. So listen, we're going to be back. There is one thing that I want to do because I'm plopping this in. It's a rather lengthy cut. You know that John Oliver has a new show on HBO.
Really?
He does. It's exclusively This Week with John Oliver, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. I'm probably wrong. But anyway, I caught a bit of it, and he actually did an entire report on GM. Now, GM has had the unfortunate thing of basically knowing about the fact that their cars were killing people and threatening people, not recalling them, and killing people. I mean, they literally are responsible for the deaths. Speaking of serial killers, General Motors is one of them. And this is a...
they kill people with cornflakes?
No. Do you know about this?
Sorry, that was...
Really, yeah, make a joke about lying. That because that'd be tasteful, Randall. Jesus Christ. No, it's not funny. 13 people have been killed due to faulty switches, faulty ignition switches, faulty brakes in these cars. And General Motors knew and covered it up. and lied to people, and people who were going to go public with it were threatened. And this is General Motors.
Where was Ralph Nader when we needed him?
Well, no, I mean, he's not there anymore. So this is what John Oliver did with the piece. I think it's worth a listen to. So, ladies and gentlemen, John Oliver.
Our main story this week concerns a titan of American industry, General Motors. Few companies in history have ever sold more cars, and as of this week, few companies have ever demanded as many of them back.
This is the year of the recall for General Motors. Today, GM recalled 2.7 million more cars.
That brings the total to 11 million recalled vehicles this year.
11 million cars. At this point, we are approaching a total recall, which is, of course, where you return your car to your local three-breasted GM representative. And by and large, these cars' flaws are frightening, from steering loss to power brake failure to the fact that airbags, brakes, and power steering could suddenly all switch off at the same time. And if you're thinking, I'm amazed no one's been killed by that, you would be wrong.
The government's own files show as many as 303 accident-related deaths. The company admits 13 people have been killed.
Here's a sign that your corporation is in trouble. When the statement, our product only killed 13 people, is your defense. But don't worry, this week the government stepped in and held GM to account.
Just a few minutes ago, we learned that General Motors is going to have to pay the government $35 million.
Wow. $35 million. That is a lot of money for a car company in 1923. But for today's GM, however, it amounts to less than one day of revenue. And there's only one GM employee who is up in arms over this, and it's this guy. And he's up in arms over basically everything. President's Day, whenever it's windy. The point is, this is a paltry amount of money. And it's about to seem even paltrier when you learn how long GM waited to tell customers about the problems.
The car maker now says it found the problem with an ignition switch back in 2001 during pre-production of the Saturn Ion.
So you knew of a potentially fatal ignition problem for 13 years. Let's be clear, that means a child attending her first day of school the day you found out would be old enough to die driving one of your cars the day you fucking did something about it. And I don't really feel like people are quite angry enough with them at this point. Maybe this will help.
Years after finding out definitively about the link, they continued to tell families of accident victims that they did not have enough evidence of any defect in their cars. In one case, GM threatened to come after the family of an accident victim for reimbursement of legal fees if the family did not withdraw its lawsuit.
So GM doubled down on their awfulness. They just couldn't help themselves, much like the people stuck in their shitty cars. And actually, to be fair, just this Friday, we learned that GM was holding meetings at the time about dealing with their defective cars. But you'll never guess what they were talking about.
These are slides from a PowerPoint presentation given in 2008. Workers were told not to use the word defect or defective, but rather does not perform to design. And GM had judgment words that were banned, including dangerous, crippling, life-threatening, hobbling, and 65 others.
How did they even come up with that list? Was it just word association at that point? Okay, everyone, say the first word that comes to mind. Cadillac XDS. Life-threatening. Perfect. The new Chevy Sonic. Crippling and dangerous. Fantastic. Keep them going. There are no bad ideas here, just bad cars. And there were... Hang on. There were a lot more words on that list than just those four mentioned, because the banned words include, and I'm going to show you the document to prove that they are real as I read them, they include death trap, decapitating, grenade-like, Hindenburg, Kevorkian-esque, powder keg, rolling sarcophagus, and your toast. When demons have sex, those are their safe words.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again, that time when we basically
use rolls of aluminium foil.
That's right. We comment on that news and commentary that we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat. But there are a few things that we wanted to talk about before our tinfoil hat segment. One was... actually, no, you have this. You have this, yeah, which you're doing as a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, my father sent me this.
Okay. Tell us about it, Randall.
Somebody in Texas, somebody said, oh, look, I got a billboard here. It's not being used. Well, so this guy decided to do a controversial anti-Obama Navy SEAL billboard.
Really?
And now I saw this billboard. My father sent it to me. He said, the SEALs removed one threat to America, removed the other in November. Now, when I first saw that, and if I saw it when I was driving by, I would have thought, yes, they're saying, let's vote out the Republicans. They're a threat to America. But you know what? It turns out what they're doing is they're saying Obama and Osama are threats to America. Although it's not a presidential election in November. They're saying, let's get rid of him.
If ever you kind of ever doubted that the racism against Obama is totally real, totally there, totally thing. Can you imagine, these guys are on the billboard, and you're showing it to me right now, these guys are on the billboard holding weapons.
And pointing them.
And pointing them and saying, you know what, the SEALs removed one threat, which they shot 150 or 300
times.
307 times. Let's remove the other in November. You know what, that should be taken down. That's not, that, and why, and who the fuck... Would, if this had been any other president, that'd be taken down tomorrow.
Well, it's not taken down. Isn't threatening the life of the U.S. president by violence some sort of a crime?
Oh, evidently not. Where is this billboard?
In Texas.
Oh, Jesus.
On the I-35 in North Texas.
Yeah, well.
Not far from Oklahoma. Yeah. Anyway, let's have a listen to how the news reported
this. This is how the news reported the billboard in Texas.
The board combining the Navy SEALs and the November election is getting some attention in North Texas. It's posted above I-35 in Gainesville. Jason Allen went up there today to track down who and what's behind it. Jason has the story new at 10.
Flying by on the freeway, you might have to see it a couple times before you get what it says. If the two men in camouflage with guns don't get your attention, the words will. The SEALs removed one threat to America, a reference to killing Osama bin Laden. Remove the other, meaning President Obama, in November.
I think people are smart enough to figure out what it means. You know, you don't have to draw everybody a complete picture.
A picture was what started it for Tom Shatt. He got it in his email with a message saying it should be on every billboard in the country.
Lo and behold, it was real easy. And just took a little bit of money and away we went.
A friend owns the billboard and leased him the space through the election. It is similar to an ad that led to a protest last week in Indiana. That one referenced voters removing the president, and some thought it was a dangerous statement to make.
They're considering President Obama a threat. Yeah, it's went too far.
Can you at least see how some people might take it in that way?
Not really. I mean, other than the fact that it's got some SEALs in there with a gun, but...
Well, apart from the fact that it has some SEALs with a gun, I don't know how I would say they're threatening the life of the president.
Guys in camouflage carrying automatic weapons, I can't see that would be viewed as hostile.
Yeah, no, I don't think well.
By the way, Texas, fuck you.
Redneck state.
Seriously, not everybody in Texas. You know who I'm talking to.
No, there's two or three that are not.
No, Austin is very cool, I understand. And I'm sure there are Democrats in Texas, but you know that there are those people in Texas, you know who I'm talking about. Fuck you. Really, seriously. We're talking about you know, next time you guys sit around whining about seceding from the union,
just remember who.
Bye. See ya.
Yeah. Just remember which state in America. Which state in the union gets the most social benefits money from Washington? And you know what state it is? It's Texas.
Is it Texas?
Yeah. You give us back that money, then you can fuck off. You ain't going till you pay back all the money you're getting.
That's Uncle Randall, man. He's sick of your horse shit. Okay. That's right. Hey, listen. Now, speaking of horse shit, my tinfoil hat, we actually have three today. That was the first one. The second one is I love the classics.
Yeah,
Big Daddy. Glenn Beck.
Oh, okay.
It really is incredible that you look at challenges, and the challenge for Glenn Beck as a slug,
he is a challenge, a slug. Words together.
Excuse me, I just knocked the microphone. That was really.
Ouch, I felt that. Oh.
Okay, this is just basically is that how do you manage to blame the gun shooting in California on progressives rather than the right-wing nut jobs that are making guns available to people like the whack job who did the deed? Well, it's very artful, but you know what? If you have some money behind you and your own talk show, I bet you could do it. This is Glenn Beck talking about and working really hard to blame the shootings in California that we were talking about earlier on the progressive movement. You don't think that's possible.
Well, at least he didn't say liberal.
Here he is, Uncle Glenn.
What kid talks about women have the right to choose who to mate and breed with?
Sick.
He's made them into objects and animals. And he actually goes on to say that he wants, quote, quarantine all women in concentration camps and starve them to death. Oh.
Wow.
Now, I got news for you. That is, they should not have the right to choose who to mate or breed with. That is almost an exact quote from Teddy Roosevelt. That is almost an exact quote from Teddy Roosevelt.
But did he say that about women or defectives, as they call them?
He said about people, that they should not have the right to choose.
Yeah. Because they were trying to make a stronger race.
They were trying to build a master race.
They were trying
to
breed out.
The progressives.
Yeah.
The progressives, he was a Republican. The progressives said, let's weed out all of the deficients.
And then for Margaret Sanger, it was minorities.
Correct. So they're the only ones that I have read. It's all the progressives, communists, fascists. They're the ones who talk like this. I don't know who else. No small government person talks like this.
And who
constitutionalist talks like this.
Who is it who has talked and acted on concentration camps in this country? Also progressives.
No, Glenn, it's not just progressives.
Progressive.
Jesus.
What is progressive?
Oh, my God. Hey, Glenn, it's crazy people talk like that. You should know because you are one. How can you actually blame the shooting? It's like you're listening to him going, you're following that train of thought that he's on that is kind of like crazy, and you know you're in Beckland.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know you're in Beck, Uncle Milty land, but you sit there and you're listening and you're going, what the fuck are you talking about, Teddy Roosevelt? I mean, what the fuck is this? And somehow now he manages to get back and say, all those communists and all those progressives, not the strict constitutionalists, they understand that women should be enslaved.
Yeah, they don't want us to marry and have children with our sisters.
Glenn Beck is slowly becoming that guy that you avoid on New York public transport.
he's the guy out of Survivor I'm listening to on the radio, if I could even get him.
And you know, the people who are just like the enablers that sit around Beck, those are people who love. It's because Glenn will go off on one of these fucking crazy tangents that make him sound like he's like a deranged homeless guy. And the guys around him obviously have been hired to go, yeah, Glenn, go ahead. You got a point.
Yeah, they hold up signs through the booth window saying, go Glenn, go Glenn.
Yeah, make him crazier. Make him crazier. So listen, that was Glenn Beck. Our final one is one you brought in, Randall.
Oh yes, our friend Joe the Plumber, whose name is really Sam Hotson Bluckum Schickelgruber.
Is it Schickelgruber?
No, it's not. It's something like that.
The wall painter?
Joe the Plumber, guy that came out during in support of Sarah Palin and Joe McCain.
Oh, the rent-a-car doofus who never actually a plumber.
No, never a plumber, never anything, and his name wasn't Joe. He had this to say to Joe. He wrote a letter without any prompting. I mean, the media loved him during the presidential campaign, but now he actually promotes himself. And he wrote a letter to the people, the parents of the six people who were killed in the Isla Vista shooting.
Oh, my God.
Shooting stabbing.
What did he say?
Well, let's have a listen.
Okay. This is Joe the Plumber. Somehow I'm scared to listen to this. Here he is.
That's right. Samuel Wurzelbacher, the unlicensed plumber, wrote a letter published on the so-called Christian website, Barb Wire, where he said, the deaths of the innocent victims of the UCSB shooting do not trump his constitutional right to own a gun. He said that the incident from over the weekend is going to be exploited by gun grab extremists, as are all tragedies involving gun violence and the mentally ill by the anti-Second Amendment left. And he goes on to say, and this is the key line, I'm sorry for the loss of your child. I myself have a son and daughter, and the one thing I never want to go through is what you're going through now. But as harsh as this sounds, your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights.
This my God, Randall, my God. This episode of our show has so many fuckheads in it. I mean, what kind of asshole? Right. Even if you do hold that position, even if you are that kind of person, what kind of person goes out of his way, unsolicited, to write someone who's in the process of grief after their kid gets murdered by a gun, that you would call them up to rub it in?
I don't think he called them up. And I don't
fuck
think
you,
he,
Joe.
He
whatever your fucking name is.
He didn't send a letter. He didn't send the letter. He gave it to the media.
Oh, he's an asshole. He's a self-promoting dick.
Look, he used that playing card analogy. You know, like, look, I'll see your three dead kids, and I'll raise you 1 Second Amendment.
I know.
You know, but I you trump know, you. Oh!
But you know
it's
something?
Not bridge. It's murder.
He is like, him and Sarah Palin should have kids, because they're very similar.
Oh, no. She's already got.
No, it's very similar, because they're both media whores. Really, that's all they are. You know, Sarah Palin is now hosting a sports show on some sort of gun show on the Sportsman Channel, a reality show on
reality
the Sportsman show.
Show.
That's the person that was going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency.
And apparently, it's not all that.
Do you
well
fucking believe
a heart?
Huh?
At least wouldn't have died in the first term. But it wasn't. He's an old man.
I know. Well, that's why I lost. I hated the Republican Party because I've been a Democrat all my life. But I used to have respect for some people in it. Mm. Now name one. Name one Republican that you actually would piss on if they were on fire. I mean, really, seriously.
One
the bunch
alive
of them.
Or,
well, no, they're just all corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every last one of them. And a majority of the Democrats are corrupt.
And the SCOTUS, too.
Huh?
And the SCOTUS.
What, the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paid yeah. Stooges. Anyway, we're grumpy today.
Yeah, we're grumpy old men.
We're grumpy old men, and we get on a podcast. Hey, listen, that's, I think, about
yeah,
as much grumpiness as one show can handle. Listen, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Bill Show today. We've
show
had
number
a
94. Yeah.
94.
Yeah,
that's
gosh.
a lot of grumpy. Anyway, you can reach us at the Bill Show on XBR at gmail.com. Please. Oh, we were gonna. There was one letter. Well,
we
one person,
time?
Ken.
Okay,
you know who you are, Ken. That. Ken. Ken is one of our fans. I mean, he listens to the show.
Yeah, that's not
like we don't. We're
a fan
we're
is
old
a
people.
Fanatic.
We're old
a
people.
Fanatic.
We don't have groupies. You're just a bunch of old guys.
Yeah, don't waste
den.
Your time. Yeah.
You know, seriously. But anyway, this we're to take us out. What do you want to go with? You want to go with a Broadway show tune?
I do want to go with a show tune because I'm
just
a
bit gay.
I'm an old show. No, I'm not.
You are. You're an old
I'm
Broadway
an old show,
guy.
Broadway guy. I used to do shows and
yeah,
and
professional
like
shows.
Play, yeah, buddy. Yeah, real.
You did Annie, didn't you?
I wasn't Annie. I was in.
No, I know, but you were in it.
Solo for the president. When I'm stuck for the day, that's gray and lonely. I will stick out my chin
and say,
"Say."
Did you play Roosevelt in Annie?
I did. No, I covered him, and I went on quite a lot. He wasn't well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I would have killed to play Roosevelt. He's my hero.
Well, no, I would have died then in 1970. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sean Hayes from the recent revival of Promises, Promises.
Promises, Promises.
On Broadway.
Okay. That's fantastic. Put your underwear, your Broadway shoes.
Oh, sweet. Oh,
here
sweet.
It is, baby.
Promises, promises, I'm all through with promises, promises now. I don't know how I got the nerve to walk out. If I shout, remember, I feel free. Now I can look at myself and be proud. I'm laughing out loud.